Mark chapter 3, we're starting verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. And let's pray. Father, thank you very much for the opportunity to preach your word. I don't take this lightly, Father. I pray, God, you please do a work in the hearts of the people and in my heart as well, Lord. Fill me with spirit and power as I preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And be seated. Most of God's will is revealed to us already in the Bible. But there are some things that are not detailed specifically. For that reason, we urge young people especially, and there have been many sermons preached on how to find the will of God. And this sermon will be merely a reminder of what you have already heard many times before. But hopefully it will be a help. Time has a wonderful way of recording things to where you can look back over the years and see God's hand weaving his way and his will through the time of your life. They say that hindsight is 20/20. Curtis Hudson said, The things I've complained about and fussed about, I learned to shout about and say, Thank God it happened. And that's true in many situations in our life. The will of God is not always an easy pathway, but it's a wonderful pathway, and it will always get us to the destination that God has for us. There are two parts to God's will. There's the present will and the future will. The past of God's will is already been done, it's already gone, there's nothing we can do to change it, and so we must focus on the present where we are now. The future will of God is what a lot of people have gotten hung up on, including myself. Too often, we get focused on what God's future will is for us to do, that we fail to accomplish what God's present will for us to do is now. And we're going to get right into it tonight, how to find the will of God for your life. Number one, we're going to look at five things, and number one is submission to God. How to find the will of God for your life? Submission to God. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Both to submit ourselves to God and to resist the devil are choices that we have to make every day. So letter A underneath that, we must submit our will to God. This is easy to say, but it's not so easy to do. As children, we were disciplined by various means by our parents to get us to do what our parents told us to do. Whether you called it a whooping, a spanking, a switching, or a yelling, there was something that our parents did to get us to submit to them. The way it worked out best for us was for us to figure out as quick as possible how to live a long and happier life without getting a spanking. Some of us took longer to figure those things out than others. What? You're talking about Josh, I know that. Some kids I've heard of require a glance from the parent and they melt in repentance. We have testimony that I was not that child. Other kids require many spankings every day, and the parents wonder if they're actually getting through or not. I was probably closer to that, right? Yep, there we go. But if we really get a hold of the fact that we will have a longer and happier life if we obey Christ, then it will be easier for us to submit ourselves to his will. A big reason why we do not submit our will to God is simply because we don't fully trust him. If we were completely honest, deep down, we would admit that we think that we can do a better job of running our lives than God can. A lot of times we think that. But if we want to find God's will for our lives, we must submit our will to God and replace our will with his will. Amen. God called me to preach on October 24th of 2021. Pastor Hal Hightower was here. He was preaching. That was the last time he was here. He used to do revivals for us all the time every fall, and that was the last time he came. 2 years, 7 months, and 24 days later, I accepted the call to pastor at Minden Baptist Church. My will was to go off in the ministry in January of 2022, a few months after I got done preaching. I'd already graduated from Bible college, so what more do I need to learn, right? That's what I thought. But then Pastor Ross gave me a bus route, then allowed me to be bus director, then he allowed me to help organize the spring program, then the 10-week push that we did during that summer, and then he allowed me to take the full fall program and plan that and organize that, and then help out with several other programs, and the things that I've learned in that time are very, very valuable. They're priceless. One of the things I learned, kind of comical, but if you remember, we have Beat the Devil Sunday. My original plan was to have Brother Chad be the devil. That was my original plan, but when you're leading those kind of things, it's best for you to do that yourself. My plan was that I was going to be the devil by myself, but I found out very quickly when you have 150 kids and bus workers that may or may not have a personal vendetta against you, it's not the best idea to be out there by yourself. It's best to get a couple other little devils out there with you. My plan was we're going to have a group on this side and a group on that side, and I was going to run the gauntlet and run back and forth. The original idea was to have a bunch of inflatable bats, but it was too expensive. We couldn't get inflatable bats, that many. So we bought about 24, and the rest were water balloons. Have you ever had a sock over your forehead and you get hit in the face with a water balloon? It makes it so you can't breathe very well. It's called waterboarding for a reason. And so, I learned, don't be the only one out there doing that. Get a couple of others out there. That's kind of funny, but the other things I learned about how to lead people and mistakes I made along the way that I wish I had done different were better that I made them here with such forgiving people than to have made those mistakes as a pastor. But my will after I was called to go out in the ministry was within a few months, but that was not God's will, and I had to submit my will to God's will. So how to find God's will for your life? We must submit our will to God. Letter B, we must submit to the fact that some things of the will of God will only be revealed when God is ready to reveal it. That's hard to do sometimes. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Some things of the will of God will only be revealed when God's ready to reveal it. Talk about Bible college. I don't know how many five-year-olds pray or young children under 12 pray that for God to show them his will and go into Bible college, but I doubt very many. And I don't think God's going to reveal that to very many five-year-olds. But once you get in your teen years, I believe you should start praying about Bible college and where the Lord have you to go, and also for a spouse that the Lord wants you to marry. That's very important. But while you're in your teen years, God's going to show you probably not who you're going to marry, but what college you should go to. Your life direction. He'll probably show you that at that time. Oftentimes, you'll meet your spouse at Bible college. I did. Brother Chad did. Brother Nichols did. And of course, our wives did as well, thankfully. I'm glad our wives were there. That's a good thing. But we wouldn't have met God's perfect will for our lives and our spouses if we had not prayed about it or heeded the counsel of our pastors. Which leads me to talk about marriage. Okay? Marriage is the second most important decision you will make in your life. If you could pick your parents and what home you're going to grow up in, the choice of your parents would last you as long as you're going to live there. Honestly. I mean, yes, of course, they're going to affect you after that. You're going to have friendships with your parents after that. We understand that. But the choice of a spouse will last you for the rest of your life. Some people have been married 50, 60, 70, 80 years to the same person. And that is a major, major, major decision. Of all the decisions that you will make in this life, that is the one that will affect you the longest. But God's not going to tell you who you are supposed to marry when you're a teenager. Probably not. In fact, God's probably not going to tell you who you're supposed to marry until you at least meet that person. Honestly, I was already dating my wife when the Lord told me. I turned 23 years old a few days after I arrived at Providence Baptist College. I went to the Dean of Men and the Vice President and asked them for the names of some good quality girls, and they separately gave me the names of three girls, and of course, Nellie was on that list. What's so funny about that? Hey, when you show up as a master's student, you don't got time to dilly-dally around. I don't got time for no dopey freshman. Oh, man. Anyway, we had our first date. We had our first date on October 5th at 7:20 p.m. It was supposed to be at 7 o'clock. But her older sister, don't get mad at me for being late. Her older sister told her that she should be late so to make me worry about it. But I got lost looking for a Dairy Queen, and I showed up 20 minutes later than I was supposed to. So there. To show her. Pastor Ross, I'm going to need marriage counseling after this sermon. Anyway. So, in February of 2013, Natalie and I were getting closer in our relationship, and I wanted to make sure this was the right one, the one the Lord had for us. So in February, I started praying a bit extra about the Lord, trying to find out if it was the Lord's will or not. And on the 12th of that month, the Lord confirmed to me that it was indeed His will. So we were married the following year. I was 24 years old when I got married. Some of you know Todd Upshendek, who is the director of Kite River Revival Campground. Some of you know him. He wasn't married until he was 35, about. His little sister, Sarah, she wasn't married until she was about 33. There's a girl, the vice president of Providence Baptist College, his daughter, Tara Hall, she wasn't married until she was about 40. Kim Kurtz, who married Dr. Keith Gomez, didn't get married until she was about 50. Okay? So, but the point is, they married, those they married were and are God's will for their lives, but it was in God's timing. It's in God's timing. So if you're single, just hold on. God probably has someone out there for you. You're probably not going to be old and single for the rest of your life. Don't worry about that. But God has someone out there for you, but we must submit to the fact that some of the things of God's will only be revealed when God is ready to reveal it. Talk about full-time ministry. When I was 15 years old, I started working for Pastor Jonathan Reiser laying carpet, and I grew to admire him very much. During my time working for him, the Lord put in my heart a desire to be an assistant pastor like Brother Reiser was. And that was back in 2005. But God did not call me a pastor at church until 16 years later in 2021. Why is that? I cannot tell you other than the fact that it was just God's timing. David did not become king until he was 30 years old. Moses and Joshua were both called of God at the age of 80. Why? Because the things of God's will are not going to be revealed until we get there, until He's ready to show us His will. So how to find God's will for your life? Number one, submission to God. Number two, obedience to God. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The decision we make can carry more weight than we can imagine. If Adam knew the long-term consequences of that one choice, if only he knew, but he didn't know. You see, sin always thinks in the immediate present and never in the future. It never does. But look at the consequences of the obedience of Christ and how many millions of people have been saved as a result of one man's obedience. You may say, well, my life won't affect that many people. Probably not in your lifetime. Christ only had 11 disciples, actually, by the time he got done with it. 120 in the upper room. I don't know how many people were on the mountain when he ascended, but he didn't have very many. You think of 120 people in an upper room, that's probably about what we have here tonight. Not a whole lot of people for, you know, the Son of God leaving heaven, doing all that, and he left with 120? That's it? But now you see generations afterwards, thousands of years afterwards, the impact of Christ. He's the most popular person in the world, probably. And His word, I mean, it lasts forever. The whole book is about Him. How about that? If I have two kids, I have two children right now. And if they each have three kids, that makes six grandchildren. And if they each have three kids, then that's 18 great-grandchildren. Now I have about 24 descendants in three generations that my obedience to God will have an effect upon. There's a man up in Northwest, Steve Swarga. That's the dad, right? Steve Swarga. Okay. From his testimony, he's told this in public, so I think it's comfortable to say this. As far back as he knows, if I get my story right, y'all can correct me later on. If I get my story right, as far back as he knows, all the men in his family were drunks. As far back as he knows. All his brothers, sisters, or his brothers, uncles, all the guys in his family, they're all drunks. And it took one decision. And he has four kids. And as far as I know, three of them are out in ministry right now. All four of them? All four of them are out in ministry right now. Because of one man's decision. Now that's going to affect his grandkids and his great-grandkids and on down the line. Jonathan Edwards, he had 13 children. 12 of them gave him 75 grandchildren. Wouldn't you grandparents love to have that many grandchildren? Remember all those birthdays. But there's people who have studied out his genealogy after that, and the effect that a righteous man had on so many people, and all the different things that have happened for God and for righteousness from his line. So there are many areas of obedience. Of course, Bible reading, prayer time, soul winning, tithing, giving, doing what we know is right from the scriptures, being obedient. But there's one thing that is vital to being obedient, and that is church attendance. Yes, sir. Church attendance. If I'm a stickler on anything, it's a stickler on church attendance. And you don't quit attending church until you quit reading your Bible. You don't quit church until you quit reading your Bible. You quit the private thing, the secret thing first, before you quit the public thing. Every time. Excuse me. As a pastor, I want people to come to my church, and therefore I will promote it. And if any of you are looking to go on a long-distance vacation, come down to Louisiana, you can come down to our church and check it out. It's just an 11-hour drive. Not too bad, not too far away. Be glad to have you. Brother Nichols, if you come down, I'm going to have you do the song later. Oh, boy. But a Christian will not live strong for long without church. Take 2020, for example. How many churches closed down and people quit going to church, and then when the church opened back up, they never came back? And still, 4 years later, same thing. Still haven't gotten back in church. You can challenge me after the service if you want to, but I've not found the person that accomplished God's will for their life after they quit going to church. If we're not going to do the revealed will, God's not going to show us anything else. I'm not talking about the fact that they moved away and changed churches. I'm talking about those who totally quit going to church. The person who quits going to church forfeits God's will for their life. And they also forfeit God's best for their life. If we quit going to church, if I quit going to church today, I'd still probably be alive a month from now. Maybe. I don't know. We're not promised tomorrow. I'd probably still have a job. Whatever. You know, have money coming in. But it's not God's best. That's not God's best. What we want is God's best. Christ came not to take, but to give. He came to give us things, that I might give them eternal life. That he wants to give us his blessings. He wants to do that. So if we quit church, we will forfeit God's will for our life, and we'll also forfeit God's best for our life. Sometimes young people think they're smarter than their parents and their pastor, and they go off and do their own thing and try to prove their authorities wrong, but even though they won't admit it, they always prove them right. Every time. And it's like, if Pastor Ross would give testimony, he would never do it. But if he gave testimony, but how many people he's counseled and counseled and counseled, and they went off and did their own thing and come back, and it's like, I told you so. I told you so. Jeff Fugit would often tell us, you cannot break the laws of God. You can only break yourself against them. Oh, what people are forfeiting when they go to church. They leave for different reasons. I know. Trust me, I know. Been around long enough. I know people leave for different reasons. Some leave for money. Some leave because they call our parents hypocrites. So they leave for different reasons. They take a job that takes them out of church, and they want to make money, so they don't talk to the boss about changing their schedule, or they don't try very hard. But there are some things that money can't buy. I've gone over this before. There are some things money can't buy. One of those things is peace of mind. How about true love? And not this fake stuff that Hollywood promotes. And that's not love either, that's lust. How about happiness and joy and peace through the trials? How about a clear conscience? That's a very valuable thing right there, knowing that I've done right. It's a wonderful thing to have. We preachers don't harp so much on being faithful to church so we can get people to put money in the offering plate or to be able to brag about the numbers we had in our church. We preach so much on being faithful in our church attendance because we have seen with our own eyes all the ends of all the paths that have ever led a person out of church. Every time. I've not seen it all. Pastor Ross has. I will see it all eventually. But and some of y'all have seen it too. It doesn't just take a pastor to see that kind of stuff. You just open your eyes and you pay attention, you'll see what happened and why and where they ended up. And every path that leads you out of church ends in misery and sorrow and regret of a wasted life. Every time. During my teen years and after I graduated from high school, I wasn't perfect in my Bible reading and my prayer time and my soul. I wasn't perfect in that. But there was one thing I never quit doing, and that was going to church. I never quit. Never quit that. I saw some of my friends and even some of my own family go off into the world and quit church. And I decided then there that I did not want to go through that kind of sorrow. I saw the destruction that wasted that noonday. I saw it all. And I didn't want to go through that. And none of you boys, none of you girls want to go through that either. It's not worth it. It ain't worth it. Young people, how many more young people that are older than you have to quit church and destroy their own lives before you get the clue that that way doesn't work? How many? It'd be good to see those who have gone before that have left. You look at their lives and decide that I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go the right way. Yeah. You look at these people in the church right now, you young people do. They may not have the absolutely perfect marriage of what you think. They got problems too. We all got problems. We all have difficulties. But we have God to help us out with it. Amen. We have God to help us get through that time. If we have problems in our marriage, we can go to our pastor and get counseling and get some help with that kind of thing and get through that difficulty. Who are you going to go to when you're not in church? Who are you going to go to? It's worth it staying in church. The fact of the matter is, when you forsake church, you are forsaking God. How many times have I been told, and how many times have you been told by those who have quit church that they're not forsaking God? How can you not forsake God when you're forsaking the bride that Christ died for? At a marriage altar, you have the bride. And guess what she has? Love. When you forsake the bride, you're forsaking love. And the world doesn't love you. Ask the prodigal son how much his friends loved him. When we forsake the bride, we've forsaken love. If God said that he would overthrow the wicked for their wickedness, what makes us think that he won't overthrow us for joining the wicked? Lot lost his wife and several children in the overthrow of Sodom. He was a righteous man, but he lost his wife and his children. They literally died in the judgment of God. 2 Corinthians 6, 17-18 says, "Wherefore come up from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." But that won't happen if we don't separate ourselves from the world. Won't happen. How to find God's will for your life? Submission to God. Obedience to God. Number three, spend time in prayer to God. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." If you want to know the will of God, just ask Him. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. I said in the beginning of the message that some people get so hung up on the future will of God, they do not do much in the present will of God. It is God's will and not ours. If we were going to do our own will, we would merely just consult with ourselves and go off and do our own thing. but it's not our will. And since it is God's will, we might want to ask him to show it to us. But we need to focus on doing God's present will and not so focused on finding his future will. As I said already, God is probably not going to show you his future will before he's ready to show it to you, before you're ready to do it. So we might as well get focused on doing his present will. Yes, ask him to reveal his future will, but keep our focus on doing his present will. Many times I found the answer to my need during my Bible reading after I had prayed about it. And many of you could give testimony to that. You have a difficulty, need some counsel about something, you just pray about it and the Lord shows it to you from his word. Sometimes it's in the preaching, sometimes it's in the study. But if you are sincerely wanting to know God's will and you ask him to show you, he will show you what he wants you to do. He will. He will. And it's okay to take wait for an answer. It's okay. And we'll talk about that. Since the Lord called me to preach, I've been praying for the Lord to show me where he wants me to go. And where he wants us to go in the ministry. But even before that, my wife and I went to a small town in Illinois to look at coming on staff at a church as assistant pastor. I had all the green lights from all four of my counselors to go there. I talked to Pastor Ross about it. I talked to several of the men up at Northwest, and they all gave green lights about it. That was my first time going to come to a church, thinking about coming on staff. I didn't know how it went. I thought you just go there and then that's it. You're going. But I didn't think that you're supposed to come back and talk about it and go from there. I didn't know about that. But we got so excited until we got there. Before we arrived, before we left to go there, just about every song or sermon had some kind of pointer in it, making us think that we're supposed to go there. We're supposed to go there. This is God's will. Here we go. We got all green lights from our counselors. Here we go. We're going to go to this thing until we got there. So we went, and the moment I got there, something was off. We got there on a Friday, and the more time we spent there, the more confusing and frustrating it got. And the more problems arose, and we had no peace about going to that church. Yes, I had advice from my counselors. I had green lights from my counselors. And the multitude of counselors are safety. But if I had come back and talked to them about it, they would have told me no. But we had no peace about going to that church. In March of 2023, we went to a church in Monticello, Indiana, to candidate for the pastorate. The church was running about 80 people. The more questions I asked, the more problems arose. The church had quit the soul winning ministry 15 years before because the pastor had gotten a hold of Oral Roberts' book and had been convinced that a man cannot pastor more than 75 people. Apparently, the pastor did not read in the book of Acts where James told Paul, who was a pastor of the church of Jerusalem, you see how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And he was the pastor of the church. I think the Lord can help a man pastor more than 75 people. Take our own pastor, for example. I told them I'd like to start a bus ministry eventually, and they didn't seem too much in favor of that. In a church running about 80 people, in a town of 5,000, the head deacon almost thought it was funny that they didn't have anyone coming from that actual town to their church. He named off one family, two people that were coming from Monticello. And he kind of chuckled about it that they didn't have anyone coming from the area. 5,000 people in the town had no concern for the lost. I asked him when the last time was they had a baptism. He said it was about a year and a half before. And he said sometimes the church kids will get saved and we'll have a baptism. And I'm like, I can't handle being in a dead church like that. That was not for me. And so we waited, and even their process of choosing a pastor was very frustrating. We waited 2 months before we got an answer as to whether or not they were going to take us on as pastor or not. By that time, I was so fed up with it, I didn't want to go. But toward the end of May of this year, Pastor Ross told me about a church in Louisiana that needed a pastor. They had a man scheduled to come in and candidate on June 9th, a separate man, but he, for some whatever reason, he ended up canceling. So Pastor Ross gave me the phone number of Brother Witten, William Witten, down there, and I called him up and asked him if we could come on June 9th, and he said, come on, and so we did. And they set up a hotel for us down there in Minden. We left on a Friday and returned on a Tuesday. Their services are different down there. Since their pastor resigned, they stopped doing the adult Sunday school class. They don't have any kids in the church, not one. I have the only kid in the church. Our family is actually the biggest family in the church. We have four people. We're the biggest family in the church. But there's room for growth, amen? You got to start somewhere. And so they stopped doing the Sunday school class, so they just have the 11 a.m. service, and then they come back again at 1 o'clock for the p.m. service, and then they're done for the day. They have a food fellowship in between, which is really nice. The members bring a lot of good food there. A lot of good food there. Man, Brother Witten made a coconut cake. I'm telling you what, heaven about came down and glory about filled my soul. It was amazing. I think that's why it's God's will for me to go down there, because I got good food. Nah, I'm just kidding. But the more I talked to them, no problems arose. No problems arose. We preached both times, and they said they would vote on us the following Sunday after the morning service, not 2 months later. They were doing it right. So there was no problems. They have no deacons to fight, no officers in the church, and thank God we have good deacons here. Thank God for that. You don't know. If you ever been in a church that had some lousy deacons, you'd be thanking God for the deacons we got. Praise the Lord for the good deacons that we got. There's no officers in the church, no disgruntled members. They still had their soul winning program going and were winning souls and had visitors. There's a man down there, Kevin King is his name. He has a prison minister down there. Last week he had 4 people saved. This week he had 3 people saved. They're still going soul winning, still trying to serve the Lord. And since I started talking to them, they've told me that different people have had a total of about 9 saved, and they've had about 6 or 7 other visitors. Are there problems in the church? Of course. Where there's people, there's problems. That's just the way it is. But we had total peace about going there. Brother Witten texted me about the vote on that next Sunday. He said it was a 100% unanimous vote. That's surprising. Seriously. And I texted him back the next day, and I said I would accept the call to pastor Menin Baptist Church. But how did we get there? We spent time in prayer to God. So how to find God's will for your life? Submission to God, obedience to God, spend time in prayer to God. Number 4, get wise counsel. We're just going to head in this briefly. I'll preach about this some other time. Counsel comes from God first. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. That comes through prayer, through your Bible, and through preaching. The multitude of counselors does not mean that you should go get counsel from other men until you get an answer that you're looking for. That's not what it means. It means that you should get counsel from several wise men, and all their counsel agrees, and then you go for it. Your pastor is a very good man to get wise counsel from. He's not a novice. He's been doing this for a long time. He has the wisdom of God to help with different situations. He has that. And young people, your parents are good to get wise counsel from. So you also don't want bad counsel. You got Balaam. In Numbers 31, verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. That's some bad counsel right there. That didn't go well. They got Rehoboam. In 1 Kings 12, verse 8, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him which stood before him. Young people will be wise to go to the older, wiser generation and ask them for wise counsel instead of shunning their parents and their pastor as old fogies. Believe it or not, they might be a bit older, but they've seen a lot more of life than you have. And they've seen a lot more different paths that people go on. A great study y'all could do, especially you young people, is to go through the Bible and study the word paths and the word way. And you study out those two words. There's a lot in there about it, but it'll help you out to see which way you should go on. There's the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, just to name 2 of them. And it'd be good to know what those ways and paths are. There is such a thing as crafty counsel. Psalm 83, verse 3, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. There are many different types of counsel. You just look up the word counsel in the Bible, go through and study it, and you'll find out there's a lot of different types of counsel. What you want is wise counsel, good counsel, godly counsel. And especially before you make large decisions, get counsel from your pastor. Take advantage of that. Don't abuse him, of course, but take advantage of his wisdom that he has. He wants to help you. And he really wants to help you. And he really doesn't want to see any of us go sideways in anything at all. And I don't think you should, you know, ask him for counsel as whether or not you put gas in your car or not. But you know, ask him for counsel on different things. If you don't know, ask him. Get wise counsel. How to find God's will for your life. Submission, number one, submission to God. Number two, obedience to God. Number three, spend time in prayer to God. Number four, get wise counsel. Number five, patience in waiting. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. One must realize that the will of God cannot, must not, and will not be forced. It won't be. If anyone had tried to force the will of God, it was me. 2.5 years ago. Okay? I could not force the will of God. There is nothing that you or I can do to force or coerce God into revealing his will before his time. Nothing we can do. He's God. We must also realize that the waiting process is a molding process. It's a molding process. Molding is uncomfortable. It is. It's hard sometimes. In the periods of waiting, God is trying to mold us into what he wants us to be when he is ready for his will to be revealed. Don't fight the molding process from God. Don't do that. It's hard to wait. It's frustrating to wait. I know that frustration. Trust me, I do. There were a lot of times when I was really frustrated that I was not out in the ministry. Pastor Ross is very kind, and he said I have a lot of patience about going off in the ministry. But if you ask my little wife right there, might have a little bit different story on that one. You know? A lot of frustration sometimes that I wasn't out in the ministry. But I had to admit that my frustration was with God for not having sent me out yet. And that realization helped me calm down and wait again for him and his timing. And then God dropped Minden Baptist out of the sky right in my lap and said, "There it is, son. And he'll do that for you one day if you're willing to wait." Be patient in waiting. Patience is not my favorite word. Running is my favorite word, even though I don't do very much of it. I don't run very much anymore. But I was thinking that God wanted me to start a church. Honestly, I was. And I actually, in this past 2.5 years, I looked at 4 different towns as to trying to find God's will, in essence, trying to force God's will about whether or not I should start a church. I looked at Mount Vernon down in southern Indiana. I looked at Bloomington. I looked at Spencer. And I looked at Brazil. None of those were God's will. None of them were. But if I had given in to my frustrations and quit waiting on God and went and did my own thing, you would not be hearing this sermon right now. And those 20 or 30 people down at Minden Baptist would be without a pastor. And all the ministry down there in the next 20 or 30 years that the Lord gives us down there won't happen. It's important to wait on God for him to reveal his will and his timing. What would we have all missed out on if we had quit? What if Pastor Ross, Pastor Robert Ross, in those times when he was, right before he started the church, all the hard time he went through and getting kicked out of the church that he was in, if he had quit, where would we be? None of us would be here. None of us, I mean, how many of us would even be saved if he had quit? And Pastor Ross, I mean, you don't get as far into the ministry as Pastor Jerry Ross has without having a lot of quitting times along the way. And he had to get past those quitting times. But if he had quit, again, where would we be? Would this church be like a church I saw down there? A cemetery beside the church? Weeds growing through the building? Closed down? Would that be our church? If Pastor Ross had quit? We don't know. A man named Collier once said, "Patient waiting is often the highest way of doing God's will." It was God's will for me to wait after he had called me. And now I look back and I rejoice at what I've learned. And you'll rejoice at what you will have learned in that time. A man named Rousseau said, "Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. And how I rejoice for the fruit of all this waiting. But now that I've accepted the pastorate, now what? Now we just move down there, right? Nope. Got to wait some more. Haven't found a house yet. We were going to look at a house this past Monday. We actually were planning on coming back on Sunday and driving coming back on Monday. But we were wanting to look at a house, so we stayed over so we could look at the house on Monday. On Sunday, it went off the market. Turns out, the house was for sale for $95,000. It had been in the market for 6 months. And down there, if a house is in nice condition right now, it might be on the market for a day or two, and then it's pending. Okay? This house had been in the market for 6 months. And so we were wondering what was wrong with it. Could see a few things on the outside, maybe a little bit that needed tended to. But that house went off the market, and we found out today that house sold for $48,000. They were asking $95,000. I talked to the realtor on Sunday, and she said that there's probably some things that need to be fixed up on that thing. $40,000 worth of things need to be fixed up on that thing? That's not the house for us. So we keep looking for a house, and God will show us the house that He wants for us in His time. Wonderful thing about time is it records how the Lord has provided for you. The Lord gave us the house that we have in Shelburne. If He can give us that house, then He can give us another house. And if God's done one thing for you, He can do another thing for you, and He'll provide for all your needs. I spent some time waiting, not much, but look at Abraham. He spent 13 years waiting for the promised son to be born. 13 years. That's patience right there. King David didn't become king. He became king after running from Saul for 7 years. Jesus waited 30 years before He began His ministry. But all those who waited on God's timing accomplished God's will for their lives. When I get to heaven one day, because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I want to know that I had enough patience to wait and accomplished God's will rather than quitting and doing my own thing because I got impatient and I missed it all. I don't want to do that. I won't be able to stand before God, and I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to stand before Him having accomplished everything He wanted me to accomplish, but I at least want to have done most of what I was supposed to do. And that's the best thing for all of us. Part of Romans 5:6 says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Adam Clark defined due time in this way. In a word, Christ came when His advent was most likely to promote its great object, glory to God in the highest and peace and goodwill among men. That's when Christ came. God will reveal His will when it brings the most glory to Him, but we must patiently wait for His will to be revealed. Hope this message has been a help to you. If these five things are done in the lives of every person here, then we will be able to accomplish God's will for our lives. How to find God's will for your life? Number one, submission to God. Number two, obedience to God. Number three, spend time in prayer to God. Number four, get wise counsel. Number five, have patience in waiting. Maybe we need to be more submissive to God. Maybe we need to be more obedient to Him. Maybe there's some things that we are doing that are not in obedience to God and that we need to get fixed. It definitely would not hurt if we spent more time in prayer. Getting wise counsel about different decisions would be a great idea. And whatever you do, even though it may be extremely difficult, be patient in waiting and do not quit on God now. The answer you have prayed for is on its way and paid for. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. And God will reveal His will. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I pray, God, that you would please not let anyone be offended by some of the things that were said. But I pray, Lord, you please help them take it to heart. And please help there be some people here today, Father. Would to God it would be all of us that would decide that we are going to stay in church and that we are going to find your will and do it. I pray, God, you please help us. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.